This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Cherry Hill Volvo is honored to sponsor the Rich Zeoli podcast. We thank Rich for informing and entertaining all of us. Rich Zeoli, 1210 Talk Radio and Cherry Hill Volvo, an absolutely amazing team.
Now, 60 minutes of nonstop talk on the Rich Zeoli podcast.
The president commutes Roger Stone's sentence. Coronavirus cases surge in Florida, and the debate over office space in the future. What's it going to look like? Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. The Zeoli Show on Twitter at Rich Zeoli, Facebook.com/Zeoli Show. Great to have you with us today. Of course, every day, 855-839-1210. So it turns out, you know, as we're looking at the future and what the future is going to look like now until we have a vaccine for the coronavirus, it's pretty obvious that a lot of businesses are trying to adapt to this. Their workers are going to probably be working from home for the foreseeable future. And then some places, they have people coming back to work, obviously. That's, you know, some people coming back to the actual office. What is that going to look like, though? Wall Street Journal had this amazing piece. As coronavirus, as offices reopen amid coronavirus, workers clash over masks, cubicle barriers, and Lysol. I don't know, maybe this is happening in your workplace. I don't know. One person said something to the effect of like, this woman was so close I could smell her gum. And it talks about how this one guy returned to the office in mid-April, surprised to see a note pinned to a colleague's cubicle urging people to keep their distance. He said, I thought it was an overreaction, but now he has a note just like it on his own cubicle. He also has strung a chain of paper clips across the opening to discourage visitors from stepping inside his little cubicle. He doesn't want anybody coming near him. A lot of these companies spent a fortune creating these big, lavish, open workspaces with cubicles, and they went away from offices. And now, if you ask any commercial real estate broker, they're going to tell you every company right now is looking for places that have offices. No more open concept places, obviously. So this guy in this Wall Street Journal article took measures after another coworker barged in, leaned over his shoulder to peer at his computer screen. At the time, face masks weren't required in the office and neither had one on. He said she was so close I could smell her gum. As the lockdowns lift, employees returning to the workplace as well as those who never left are clashing over different views of the pandemic. Some say their colleagues aren't taking it seriously. Others say their coworkers are going too far to stay safe. There's this disconnect. And of course, the politics of all this around it, everything else. Katie Brennan, an advisor at the Society for Human Resource Management, said, just as we might have friends or families with views that are the polar opposite of our own, the same can be expected of the workplace. Be prepared for potential conflict because feeling safe or comfortable at work isn't something that most people are willing to compromise. This one woman out in Salt Lake City, well, she butted heads over coronavirus with a colleague at the manufacturing plant where they work. The one person, he told her that, you know, he doesn't think it's a big deal. She disagrees. She worried that her colleague's stance means he doesn't practice social distancing while he's off the clock and is jeopardizing her health and that of her 86-year-old mother. She says, I don't want to bring anything home. Employees have really no legal recourse against colleagues who they feel aren't doing enough. Or it's the opposite if the employees, if they feel like their colleagues are just going completely overboard. A Stanford Law School professor named Allison Moran said, this could all change given that the pandemic is an unprecedented modern day event. Maybe new state laws or creative legal theories will emerge. This is uncharted territory. Breaking from the piece for a second, it's amazing that we're, you know, the thinking of corporate America used to be get everybody out in the open so they can share ideas and these ideas can all blend together and merge. And you're not really doing your job. You're doing everybody's job and everybody's doing everybody else's job. Now you have a situation at the office where people are going, get the hell away from me. Don't come near me. and I'm not doing your job because I don't think you're social distancing enough. Or I'm not doing your job because I think you're a kook when it comes to wearing a mask, even when you're in the bathroom by yourself. So you've got that going on in the workplace now, which is a lot of fun. For some workers, they say, they're going to take matters into their own hands. Yashira Raymond, a University of Oklahoma student, recently found herself sharing an office at the school with another student who was spraying Lysol and disinfecting surfaces every 5 to 10 minutes. She said, even with a mask on, I was breathing in the Lysol. So that'll be the next wave of probably those class action lawsuits, the commercials that you'll hear. You know, were you exposed to Lysol at the workplace? Were you exposed to Lysol in the school? Do you have health problems now from too much Lysol inhalation? Call the law firm of blah, 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 blah. The same colleague who displayed on her computer screen a website with the latest tallies of coronavirus infections and deaths, the grim drumbeat of the pandemic's toll combined with the frequent cleaning made me very aggravated, she said. Yeah, I mean, you can imagine having a colleague like that, right? Imagine that, guys, having a colleague who sprays everything down with Lysol every 10 minutes.
I can't imagine.
And scrubs things down in the middle of a show. Can you imagine what that must be like?
It must be awful working with somebody like that.
I mean, I, for one, cannot even envision this.
No.
But she does have the wonderful lilac Purell. I mean, the lilac Lysol that she brings in.
That's right, the lavender scent. But now I have my wand, which you guys have not even seen my blue wand.
Well, that's in the piece, too. Crazy coworkers who wave blue wands with ultraviolet light that could cause blinding.
It works, though.
That'll be in the future also. Do you have bad eyesight because a coworker waved an ultraviolet wand in your face every day at the office?
Yeah, I'll have to hand out the goggles when you guys come back. You have to wear goggles.
So in the future, we're all going to have lung cancer from the Lysol. We'll be blind from the ultraviolet light.
Yes.
And we'll have skin cancer from the ultraviolet light ray. It'll be great.
Unintended consequences.
But none of us will have the coronavirus.
That's right.
Thank God.
So there you go. What got you? Coronavirus? No. It was this weird combination of lung cancer, skin cancer, and blindness. So it was weird. It was like a... back to the article here. Some colleagues comply at this one place, but other people are ratting out their employees. Some workers don't hesitate to confront colleagues whose approach to the pandemic they deem unacceptable. If someone's not wearing their mask, I'm the person who says, put your mask back on. Well, at our company, Darth Eskin does that, right? I mean, he does that quite well. If anyone doesn't wear a mask like he does, his Darth Vader mask that he wears every day, then he makes sure that they get a lecture, right?
Yes, he does.
All the time. He did it to me.
There you go.
Well, that's because you don't wear it over your nose, dude.
Right. It was one instance where I didn't have it over my nose.
I've heard there were many instances.
I went all the way up to corporate HR, all the way in on the 10th floor of our, or 4th floor of our office.
Well, thankfully, I have someone to back me up if I'm ever sent home for this show. Oh, wait.
So. Yeah, none of us know how to work anymore.
I'm your wit. He wears his mask.
As soon as I leave the studio, it's always on my face, covering my nose.
Did you see what Spike said in the memo to you, what Darth Eskin said in the memo to you? He said, I find your lack of faith to be disturbing. Your lack of faith in masks?
Yeah, that's
to be disturbing.
Yep.
Yeah.
The problem is when you've converted ladies' panties into a mask, there are going to be problems. So, millennial has got to just buy a proper mask.
Dawn always takes it to a weird place, man.
Right? Always. She has Bill now being a bank robber going into a store like a serial killer with a pantyhose on your head.
I mean, to be fair, Dawn compared what my initial mask was, which was just like the one that I wore for snowboarding because I didn't have a medical mask until recently.
It had lace on it.
Who the hell is a medical mask? Everybody's working on bandanas. My favorite meme is they show the CDC, like it's like a scene from Outbreak where everybody's got the head-to-toe things on, the hoses, right?
That's right.
Yes.
And it says, this is how virologists in the lab keep themselves clean and healthy from viruses. But your bandana will work too. And I love that meme. I think that's like the funniest meme ever.
Your bandana will
do just as good. So Bill, no one has a medical mask. You just have to cover your face. You don't have to worry about being like an N95 respirator that's certified by the CDC.
Right.
I mean, to Darth Eskin's credit, he's not making you look like it's a biocontainment zone at the office. Although he wanted to, and I think he was shot down by corporate. The air filtration was just too expensive. They said no. Then, of course, there's the question of what do you do with workplace conflicts? I saw the dumbest story in the world that I saw the other day in my whole life. This is an actual headline, right? New Jersey. Can you make a citizen's arrest if someone's not wearing a mask?
Oh, I swear to God,
that was the headline.
We're not going to do this, are we? We're not going to do this.
Could you imagine that?
Oh,
citizen's
God.
Arrest.
Oh, please do
oh,
it.
Oh, God.
The
oh,
Karens
God,
of the
please.
World now arresting people.
Yes.
I'm making a citizen's arrest because you're not wearing a mask. That'll go over well.
Yeah, what could possibly go wrong with that?
What could possibly go wrong there? So you've got the workplace. Now, the workplace environment with you've got coworkers who are either not, you know, you see, I'm sure what's going to happen is when everybody's coming back to the workplace, someone's going to be in talking about, we had this crazy party Monday. It was insane. We were all out. We were at the bars and people are going to be laughing. And someone's going to be typing everything they're saying to HR, right, in email, right?
Exactly,
right? And then, so that'll work out well for the collaborative nature of a workplace.
Oh, yeah. I think the collaborative workplace is going to be a thing of the past.
Thank God, by the way.
We as a creative show need to collaborate together. I mean,
Right. I mean,
theoretically,
right, of course, theoretically, we all need to collaborate together, but you know, and I'm just, the future for lawyers is going to be great though. Don't you think?
I know.
I mean,
they
it's
always
never
win.
Been a better
they always,
time. They always win.
Yep.
They really do. They always win because you'll have the lawsuits over the crazy coworkers who got you sick with Lysol poisoning, the workers who didn't take it seriously enough and got you sick, the management who didn't do enough to keep you safe, the management that went too far with the sterilization and gave you some sort of Purell intoxication. It'll be all kinds of lawsuits. The future is rich for this. I could just hear the commercials now, you know, and then you'll what'll wind up happening is you'll join in this big class action lawsuit. And in like 7 years, you'll get a check for 59 cents.
That's right. Exactly right.
Because that's how these things happen, right?
Yes.
Listen, let me tell you something.
Yes.
What we're going to see is a decrease in other things like the flu, you know, and people just getting the cold and that sort of thing.
You think so?
I think people will have better habits, you know?
Interesting.
And I think that's the good part of this.
Or our immune system's going to be like, what's that? A cold? What the hell do I do with this?
Yeah,
and then completely shut down.
It's true.
Right?
The common cold is going to start killing people because we've been pent up for a whole year.
It'd be like a speck of dirt. We'll be like, oh, my God, I don't know what this is. And our immune system just, all body functions, shut down, shut it down. It'll be like, what killed him? Dirt, actually.
Yeah.
It's survived everything else, but dirt got him. Classic household dirt. So there's also that possibility, Dawn.
Listen, like one in three people has a staph infection. Like, you know, people are slobs. So people, you know, need to, if everybody Purells and everybody washes their hands and stuff like that, I think it is better for society.
What did you say? One in three people have a staph infection?
No, like have staph bacteria or whatever, like in their nose or on their skin.
It's gross.
Yeah.
What the hell sci-fi channel are you watching?
I know. I read all these creepy sites.
I know you do.
There's
we know.
Like in the
we
sand.
Know.
You know how people bury their kid in the sand?
I can't wait for the 8 a.m.
No, wait. Let me tell you what it is. Ready, Greg? In the sand is a pedophile hiding in the sand. It's a horseshoe crab pedophile.
Yes.
That will take your child, pull him down into the sand, and kidnap your child.
No,
am I right, Dawn? Is that what's waiting for them in the sand?
Well, you're close, because they're under the boardwalk. That's why you don't want your kids going under the
boardwalk.
Oh, right, under the boardwalk with the creepy clowns, too.
Yeah,
I forgot.
Right.
My bad.
No, MRSA infection, all kind of MRSA and stuff.
MRSA's under the sand.
Is in the sand. It's true.
Hey, Claire, let's build a MRSA sandcastle together. Let's do that.
Love,
be fun.
Stop
love those.
Burying
love
your
those
kid. MRSA. Like, you know how you put in their head is just sticking out. Stop.
Yeah, stop doing that. Like they do
sand.
In some countries in the Middle East. Don't do that. It's a terrible
true,
thing to do
true.
On
no,
the sand.
At the shore, when you go
they put fire ants.
Stop.
Now, I've seen people get buried up to their head and then the tide comes in.
Yes.
You know where I saw that, Dawn? I believe it was the Twilight Zone is where I believe I saw that, if I'm not mistaken. I don't think that actually happens in real life. So you just, I mean, everywhere you look, there's something that's going to kill us everywhere around us, right?
There is.
I know.
We've got to be careful. As Mama Zioli says, we got to be careful. But I just think the awareness is a good thing. I just think people have to put it in perspective. and stop panicking.
Well, I don't. Well, first of all,
we're panicking. Yeah, you're the one who's telling us there's MRSA in the sand.
Yeah, you're bringing an ultraviolet light with you to the work. Who's panicking here?
Oh my God.
No, but I'm just saying, like,
you're acting like Van Helsing with vampire blood everywhere, with a giant blue UV light to kill the vampire remnants. So they don't. I mean, who the hell's panicking here?
Yeah.
All right, 855-839-1210 is the number. So that's the future. Offices will reopen, and we'll all go back to work, and we'll hate each other there at the workplace. It'll be nice and convenient. Hopefully, just in time for Election Day too, so we can also hate each other for that, and of course, the way we all act in the workplace together. It's going to be a lot of fun.
The Rich Zeoli Show on your schedule. This is the Zeoli Show podcast.
So as we're discussing all this, of course, they are talking about a vaccine. Surprisingly enough, that vaccine may come from the blood of horseshoe crabs. I'll tell you about that a little bit. And with the election around us coming up very, very quickly, will there be more in-person ballots, or is everything going to become this vote by mail stuff? And is the president's opposition to vote by mail actually giving Biden an edge? I'll tell you about that as well. It's our big story of the day today is the schools, though, reopening schools. A big story of the day is brought to you by Wawa. Wawa is great. You can get Wawa's delicious food delivered right to you using all the food apps that you love, Grubhub, Uber Eats, DoorDash, you name it. Wawa can give you delivery on groceries as well. Wawa, check it out. So schools reopening is the big story, and the battle over schools reopening is also the issue here that's going on. But in the midst of this, we've got the politics, the background of the 2020 politics going on with the matter of all this stuff. I would think that if you were looking at who's to blame in the middle of all this, the last thing you really think about is Roger Stone being to blame. The president commuted Roger Stone's sentence. And I personally never have a problem with commutations or pardons. And I'm not a hypocrite on this. I'm not one of those guys that's a hypocrite on these things. Presidents have these powers. Presidents use these powers. It's like the stupid golf thing. People were busting Trump's chops over the weekend for golfing. He hit back and said, you know, this is my exercise. Look, I don't care what these guys do, as long as they don't get so stressed out that they launch missiles. You know what I mean? From my perspective, and I said this when Obama was president too, when conservatives go after him about golfing all the time, you're always president. You're never not president. It comes with you everywhere you go. They bring the communications with them. You're still president even if you're on the golf course. It's not like it's a president-free zone. You give up the power for a couple hours in the afternoon. You're there, and they bring the whole White House communication system. It travels. It's a road show. So if that helps you relieve stress and you don't cause World War III, I'm fine with it. Whatever it is, massages, golf, whatever, exercise, horseback riding, whatever it is, just do it so you don't cause World War III. I'm okay with it. Such a stupid argument. But it's the same thing with pardons and clemency, too. The president has said that the Mueller campaign, the whole Mueller investigation was a joke, and he said that this never should have happened, and Mueller found no Russia collusion. So what he got everybody on ultimately was lying to Congress, lying to the feds. That's what he got everybody on. And the president has now given clemency to Roger Stone. I think the president should pardon Michael Flynn. I've been telling you this from day one. It's the only way Michael Flynn is going to get off, because there's a federal judge. This judge has it in for Michael Flynn. He's going to keep coming after Michael Flynn. He now wants to go to the entire court and have them hear the case of whether or not the charges should be dismissed. So, you know, if there was no Russia collusion, if there was no crime, there was no crime to cover up. Therefore, what were you lying about? I mean, that's at the end of the day, that's got to be the key. If there was no crime, if Mueller never found a crime of Russia collusion, what crime was there to cover up? I keep asking that question. And whether you got Manafort on sleazy things that had nothing to do with Russia collusion, they never would have got him on those sleazy things had he not been Trump's campaign manager. Same thing with Roger Stone. All these guys found themselves at the center of a prosecutor hell-bent on getting them with unlimited time, unlimited money, $60 million of our taxpayer dollars spent on this. No deadline to wrap it up, no parameters. And, you know, if you had teams of federal lawyers coming after you and looking into your life, how would you do with that kind of an examination? How would you do? So they say that Roger Stone covered up for Trump's crimes. But what crimes did he cover up for if Mueller never found collusion? And so what Democrats on the left want to say, and some Republicans too, like Toomey and Mitt Romney, is they want to say, well, had Roger Stone talked, they would have got Trump on Russia collusion, I guess would be the link there. I'm not buying that for a second. I'm not buying that for a single second. And I think it's kind of silly to even think that Roger Stone held the cards here for everything involving WikiLeaks and Julian Assange and putting out Hillary's emails, and he knew all that stuff. And all. Here's my question. Who the hell cares if he did? What does that have to do with the election? Even if Roger Stone wound up working with WikiLeaks and Julian Assange to put out Hillary Clinton's emails or Podesta's stolen emails, you know, Podesta, who was the campaign manager who apparently got his emails hacked by Fancy Bear, Dancing Bear, whatever the hell it is, Fancy Bear, got his emails hacked by that. And then they put all that out there on the interwebs. And who cares? What does that have to do with election interference? If Roger Stone had worked with WikiLeaks to change people's votes or to hack election machines or to shut down the election process, I would say, well, that's a major federal crime. But at worst, what Roger Stone and WikiLeaks did was to have information put out there to the voters. That's it. And then people make their own decisions. And when they look at, you know, that's at worst, by the way. And now Roger Stone may have committed a crime of hacking or something like that, but that has nothing to do with Russia collusion that changes the outcome of an election, right? Nothing. And that's ultimately what we're supposed to believe Roger Stone and others got, that they were the key to the election going Trump's way because of Russia collusion. Now, Roger Stone's not out of the woods. You know, Roger Stone could very well still face the wrath of New York prosecutors, because if Roger Stone did collude with WikiLeaks and they put all this information out there, it was done in the state of New York, most likely. And last year, the GovGov, Andrew Cuomo, passed a bill. They signed into law in October, which enables New York district attorneys to prosecute what effectively amounts to certain friends and family of any president who pardon them for federal convictions. Among the people who can be prosecuted are associates with information relevant to a civil or criminal investigation of the president. So as CNN gleefully points out, Roger Stone is not out of the woods yet. Now, as somebody who defends the double jeopardy clause of the federal constitution, the United States Constitution, I would tell you that if he's cleared on the federal charges, he should be cleared on the state charges. I say that conversely, too. You know, I'm not big on this whole a state vindicates you, a jury finds you not guilty, and then the feds come after you now, too, to try to get you on the federal charges. I think that goes in against the spirit of double jeopardy. I've said that for a very, very long time. Many libertarians, civil, you know, people who believe in the Constitution, civil liberties, have also said the same thing. Many conservatives have said it, too. Clearly, the idea of double jeopardy was to not have the feds go after you if the state couldn't, or vice versa. Stone's lies, according to a CNN article, covered up his contacts with WikiLeaks, which had dumped into the public domain thousands of documents that Russian intelligence hacked from Democratic National Committee and Hillary Clinton's campaign chairman, John Podesta. All right. A judge said Roger Stone was not prosecuted, as some have complained, for standing up to the president. He was prosecuted for covering up for the president. What did he cover up? If the Russians did, in fact, according to the CNN article, if the Russians did, in fact, hack the Democrat National Committee and Hillary Clinton's campaign chair, John Podesta, and WikiLeaks got that information, and Roger Stone worked with WikiLeaks to get that information out on the web, then all he did was get information out there for the voters to make decisions on. Now, you can call that sleazy. You can call it dirty. Opposition research people, Roger Stone's the first person to tell you he's a dirty, dirty guy. He plays dirty. He plays rough. It's the kind of politics a lot of people find disgusting. Roger Stone loves it. It's Roger Stone swims in that pond. Stone falsely denied having exchanged emails about WikiLeaks. I think he probably did work with WikiLeaks to get those emails out there, and I don't really care. I don't, because in my opinion, whether it's WikiLeaks getting that information out there, whether it's Edward Snowden getting that information out there, whatever the information is, the question becomes, do people have a right to know the information? The rules that are broken to get the information out to the public for them to make up their own decisions about things, yeah, you're going to break rules to do that. There's no doubt about that. But does that then mean you should go to prison? In other words, Roger Stone's not going to prison because Roger Stone changed votes in the 11th ward of Pennsylvania District 6, or he was able to find ways to sabotage the election machines. Roger Stone's not going to prison because they found him with 200,000 Hillary Clinton ballots in his trunk. Roger Stone would have been going to prison because Roger Stone may have worked with Julian Assange and WikiLeaks to put out emails that were hacked by the Russians. But here's the thing. You as a voter still have to read through those emails, decide if you give a damn, decide if it moves you one way or the other. Some voters might have been disgusted by the practice and voted for Hillary Clinton just to say they were disgusted by the practice. Other voters may have said, I don't really care what John Podesta has to say. I don't really care what Hillary Clinton, I don't really care about this stuff. I don't really care. Some people might have looked at it and said, well, this is really damaging to the Hillary Clinton campaign. I'm definitely voting Trump now. Point is, you don't know. It's like with the Russians putting Facebook ads out there and tweets and that sort of thing. And a lot of these Democrats now want to come out with laws against misinformation, political misinformation. I don't know what the hell that means. I don't know what that means. I know it's a great threat to the First Amendment. I know that it would be devastating for political speech if you had a federal law against false information in politics. Now, by the way, if I'm a candidate and they put out knowingly malicious lies about me, I still have recourse to sue them. But I don't know what kind of laws would stop a foreign government from putting out stuff on the internet. I don't know what laws would stop that or why we'd want to stop those laws, because the information doesn't force a voter's hand. Right. The information in and of itself doesn't make a voter vote some way. The voter has to absorb information and think on his own. And whether it's propaganda that's put out by a campaign or it's propaganda that's put out by a foreign government, it's still just propaganda. It's all propaganda. All of it is propaganda. Campaign ads are very expensive forms of propaganda. They either work for you or they don't. Sometimes they backfire. Sometimes they don't move the needle. I watched a whole debate yesterday on MSNBC. They were debating the effectiveness of the Lincoln Project ads. And I was fascinated by it because this one Democrat said he thinks that they're super effective in hammering Donald Trump. This is the Never Trumper group. Another Democrat was going on saying that they completely missed the mark. All they are is it's like a propaganda porn for people that already hate Trump. They're not actually changing anybody's mind with those ads. But at the end of the day, all of this is propaganda. So unless Roger Stone or anybody else in Trump's orbit did something to literally change the election outcome by ballot manipulation, and they said not a single vote was changed, what are we putting these people in prison for exactly is what I want to know. So they go, well, he worked with a foreign government to put information out there. Yeah, but so did the Clinton campaign with that stupid dossier. Remember that Christopher Steele dossier? Should her campaign go to jail too? Should we put them in prison? All those Democrats who work with that former spy, Christopher Steele, to put out all the Russian P dossier. So now you can't get information from a foreign government. You can't put that information out there, I guess. That's a federal crime. But of course, the predictable outrage from Democrats and Never Trumpers is this is corruption. He's covering up corruption. At worst, Roger Stone and Julian Assange worked together to get stolen emails out on the internet. But I don't think he stole the emails. I don't think Roger Stone even would know how to do that, by the way. I don't think he's that technologically savvy. But even if he did, it's still the president's right to commute his sentence, which he did. But again, what crime did Roger Stone commit if there was no Russian collusion? And they get him on lying, but lying about what exactly if there was no Russian collusion? And they'll tell you that just by talking to the Russians over the emails that was the collusion. I'm sorry, but unless somebody can show me votes that were changed, all they did was put out propaganda, which is something that people in politics do every breathing minute that they're alive. Propaganda, lots and lots of it. The Christopher Steele dossier. For those of you that are shaking your heads right now going, I can't believe you would just, I'm not justifying anything. I'm just telling you the way it is. That Christopher Steele P dossier was Russian propaganda, was foreign propaganda. But I'm not talking about putting anybody in prison over it, am I? No.
Thanks for taking the Zioli Show with you. Rich Zioli, weekday mornings on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
And by the way, it doesn't matter because whether it's Roger Stone or it's Russia, tax returns, they're never going to stop going after the president, even in his second term. This is what, Maxine Waters is a lunatic, as you know. She's the impeach 45 with the lowest low energy chant in the history of chants. Impeach 45. Impeach him. So now she's decided that even if Trump loses, they're still going to go after his tax returns. They're never going to stop. They're never going to give up. Cut six.
So you do fully intend to continue pursuing these demands for records, even if Donald Trump loses in November?
Oh, absolutely. We're committed to our mission. We have the oversight responsibility as the Financial Services Committee in Congress, and we will not walk away from this. We will continue to do our work. As I have said, we believe that there are issues involved, you know, related to money laundering right. and some other kinds of things
right.
That certainly this president would have to answer to, okay. whether or not he's still the president okay. or not.
Thank Maxine you. Waters, Democrat from California and chair of the House Financial Services Committee. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Well, that was real low energy. Holy cow.
NPR. NPR. NPR.
Stop, Bill. Hang on. What was that, Bill?
It was NPR.
That was NPR?
Yeah.
Oh, well,
yeah.
She goes on and says they're gonna investigate the president even after he leaves the White House. And her and the response from NPR is, Maxine Waters, thanks so much for joining us today, and enjoy your salad that you're going to have for lunch. I mean, it's kind of a big deal, right, to investigate the president even after he leaves office, right?
You would think so. You would think so. You would think that the reporter would be like, hey, you know, let's pursue this a little further. Let's dig yeah. into it a little deeper. But now,
let's have a follow up. So wouldn't he be a private citizen at that point? And these are matters that happen as a private citizen. So wouldn't this be kind of going after their political enemies? Instead, it's, well, that's interesting. That's, yes.
she wasn't listening.
maybe she wasn't listening. Yeah.
No.
Yeah, you know what? That's not, actually not a bad theory. Bill, let's play, sort of just kind of do like sort of the end of the cut a little bit. I think she might have been tuned out. Yeah, take a listen.
Maxine Waters, Democrat from California and chair of the House Financial Services Committee. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Even Maxine Waters was stunned by that. Like, wait a second. That doesn't get a follow-up from you? I just said we're going to investigate the guy when he leaves office.
No, yeah, no.
That doesn't get even a follow-up question.
Okay, thank you very
Maxine
much.
Maxine Waters, thanks so much. And now the topic of lettuce. Romaine,
wow, yeah.
spinach, or arugula, or yeah. a spring mix. Now we turn to our salad correspondent here on NPR. Jonathan White. Jonathan, many people are talking salad today, and I have several follow-ups for you. Unlike my interview with Maxine Waters, I have follow-ups on radicchio. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. 855-839-1210. So they're never going to stop going after the president. I think that this is an issue that, you know, for the president anyway, it's going to be one of those things where he continues to use and his base just rallies around him. And unlike Joe Biden, Trump's base is all in. They also blame Trump for the deaths of Americans, too. Adam Schiff, who also wants to keep investigating the president, was on with the unbiased journalist George Stephanopoulos. House Intelligence Committee Chairman Representative Adam Schiff. Cut three.
If the Republicans won't even say a word, of course, they're not going to vote to impeach and convict. We already presented a case with overwhelming evidence, and they refused to convict then. And indeed, of course, during that impeachment, we warned that if they left him in office, knowing that he had committed impeachable offenses, that the damage he could do between now and Election Day could be severe. And here we are now, 130,000 Americans dead. We had no idea just how bad the damage would be, but nonetheless, we knew the damage would be grave.
So let me understand this. Because they didn't impeach him, they didn't remove him from office, he decided to kill people? Is that with the coronavirus? Is that what I'm getting from that? That's the damage? It would be grave? Well, I'll show them a lesson. I mean, is that Adam Schiff's argument right there? I'm sure the follow-up from the unbiased journalist was probably amazing after that, too.
No, he did. He just said, Adam Schiff, thank you for joining us.
Adam Schiff. Arugula, or do you like prefer like a mix, a salad mix? Wow. Okay. Well, there you have it right there. And then, of course, with the craziness, Pelosi has no regrets in how Congress handled the entire COVID crisis, none whatsoever. And I'm going to use this to transition into my next story, and I think you'll understand here on this. Cut one.
Looking back, knowing what you know now, did you underestimate the crisis also?
No, what we did was at that exact time was we were writing the first COVID bill, which we brought to the floor and passed on March 4th. And it was about testing, testing, testing. Because if you don't test, you don't have a handle on what the the problem is. And that was to address, so, okay, this is out there. Let's find
so
out.
So no regrets on your part?
No, not at all. We have had four bills, all bipartisan, but they have not been implemented by the administration. And no, we said testing for March 4th. We were writing the bill to find out what the threat was to us, while the president was saying delay, denial, calling it a hoax, and causing deaths.
She sounds very upbeat there, doesn't she, Greg? A little bit like peppy.
She does. Very, very. I'm really glad you said that, because that's one of the reasons I pulled that cut, is because she was very animated, like much more than we've seen in the past.
Yeah. Well, then I have this story here. Horseshoe crab blood is key to making a COVID-19 vaccine, but the ecosystem may suffer.
Is it a coincidence? I don't know.
So National Geographic has this story. I swear I'm not making this up, okay? Each spring, guided by the full moon, hundreds of thousands of horseshoe crabs clamber onto beaches across the U.S. mid-Atlantic to lay their eggs. For hungry birds, it's a cornucopia. For drug companies, it's a crucial resource for making human medicine safe. That's because the horseshoe crab's milky blue blood provides the only known natural source of something or other, a substance that detects a contaminant called entoxin. And even in even tiny amounts, a bacterial toxin makes their way into vaccines, injectable drugs, or other sterile pharmaceuticals such as artificial knees and hips. The results can be deadly. All pharmaceutical companies around the world rely on these crabs. When you think about it, your mind is boggled by the reliance that we have on this primitive creature, says Barbara Brummer, the state director of the Nature Conservancy in New Jersey. I mean, how many times do we see horseshoe crabs on the beach at the Jersey Shore, right?
Yeah. All the time.
All the time. 1.24 million crabs spawned in the Delaware Bay, and their blood is the key now to the coronavirus. And the full moon, they come out, and I just see Pelosi like going out there like, I'm going to find this vaccine one way or the other. I'm going to do my own clinical trial. And there's like the moon's behind her. She's ripping the crab shells off, blood draining down on her. I'm going to do my own human trial right now. Because she sounds way too giddy.
Yeah, so you think that may have been the pep in her step, so to speak, in that last clip that you just played.
Speaker, were you on the beach last night? I was. I found the ongoing burden on horseshoe crab blood for COVID-19 vaccines and related therapies may imperil the crabs and the marine ecosystem that depend on them. So I guess the question will be, what will win over? Killing the crabs to get their blood to create a vaccine? Or the environmentalists who will come out there and say that we're destroying the horseshoe crab ecosystem. We have to stop now. We're hurting the horseshoe crab ecosystem. Who's going to win that battle? By the way, they're more related to spiders and scorpions and crabs, which is why Pelosi also loves them.
Yes.
And they're also millions of years old. Like Pelosi, they have not changed in millions of years.
Now, here's the thing. They take them carefully. They say, I've seen stories on this before, and they release them back into the wild. So it's like, you know, when you go and you donate blood. So they're donating the blood, then they put them back in the wild.
So in other words, they drink the blood and they throw their their corpses back on the beach.
No.
That's why I see so many of them dried up on the beach.
Well, they do say that their environmentalists believe that they up to 30%, as many as 30%, don't survive it, that it somehow disrupts, you know, either kills them or, I mean, they put them back in the wild.
It sounds like that interview with a vampire where it's like, yeah, it's not going to hurt, I promise.
But
you're going to be fine.
So their blood is the only thing that makes sure no dangerous bacteria exists in newly created drugs.
Right.
So it's pretty amazing that this, like, prehistoric creature has been used for years and years.
You talking about Pelosi or you talking about the horseshoe crab? We're just trying to understand. By the way, doing a social media check-in today, brought to you by our friends at Cherry Hill Vavo, where relationships matter. The warranty man reminds us that Nancy was ripping up the president's State of the Union speech while he was addressing the coronavirus, China virus. She was inviting people to eat in San Francisco, Chinatown in March. That's true. That's very true. Czar of Trenton says, Rich, what the judge is doing in the Flynn case is keeping it in legal limbo because the president can only issue a pardon after they have been found guilty and sentenced. It's actually not true. Presidents can issue pardons for any crime that may or may not have been committed. You can look at the Gerald Ford pardon of Richard Nixon when President Ford issued a full and unconditional pardon on Richard Nixon for any and all crimes that may or may not have been committed by Richard Nixon against the United States of America. Now, there's a lot of question about if the acceptance of the pardon means you're basically accepting guilt, but it's not a definitive legal doctrine. And regardless of the fact, the president's ability to pardon somebody can actually pardon them from the investigation itself to avoid a verdict of guilty and avoid a prison sentence in the first place. So presidents can pardon or issue clemency. Clemency has to come after there's a sentence, obviously, but because you're reducing the sentence. But a pardon can come at any point, really. And that's a beautiful thing about the pardon power. And also why some people say the pardon power is just too much power. I disagree. I think the pardon power is the ultimate check by the president on what could be an out of control legal system. And at the end of the day, he stands as that final check. And by the way, the phony outrage over this, I mean, the Democrats and Republicans do this all the time with the pardons, back and forth, back and forth. It goes with the territory. It goes with the winner of the office. And, you know, what can I tell you? I mean, that's why they say elections have consequences. I mean, everybody was Democrats defending the pardon of Mark Rich guy when Bill Clinton did it, you know? And Republicans were outraged, and now Democrats are outraged that Roger Stone's been pardoned. And it's just the way it goes. It's the name of the game of politics, but it's a lot of power. And obviously, it's a power that nobody can check. It's an unchecked power on the presidency. Nobody can overrule a pardon. There's no committee. The president can use the justice system, but Justice Department, but he's not required to. And no one has to ever say that they're guilty. And no one has to even be found guilty or even be actually charged. Remember, Richard Nixon was never charged even with a crime when he was pardoned by Gerald Ford. All right, 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210.
Thanks for taking the Zioli Show with you. Rich Zioli, weekday mornings on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Hey, Millennial, you know, we've been talking about Star Wars and The Empire Strikes Back and Darth Esken, who mass shamed you at the office. Do you know the number one movie in the box office right now? Do you know?
Right now? I would guess The Last Skywalker or whatever.
And you would be wrong.
Wow.
Young millennial. Dawn, you want to guess what it is?
I don't know.
Okay, Dawn, great guess. I'll tell you what, that.
Ad libber.
That season at Summerstock, Dawn, I'm telling you right now what it did for you.
Oh, man.
Dawn, you want to guess something, maybe? Anything? All right, Dawn, that was an amazing guess.
Thank you very much.
I'm sorry.
I know Greg knows the answer.
I'm focusing on my newscast update, so I'm like distracted.
What's that?
I'm distracted.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to distract you.
Rich, I mean, come on. You can't expect her to, you know, be paying attention to what's going on at 8:17 in the morning.
It'd be awful if she was actually listening to the show. Yeah. It'd be terrible.
I'm listening.
There's not a day goes by that someone on the show is not listening to the show.
She's filling her Amazon cart.
No, I'm updating my newscast.
Resume. No, better not be. You better not be. So The Empire Strikes Back, Dawn.
Yes.
No, I'm saying that's the movie. It's number one in the box office right now.
Wow.
The Empire Strikes Back.
Can we just rewind?
This radio bit flawlessly executed.
We need to
professional
go back to, like...
radio here on the Zioli Show. Greg, this is like bad college radio.
I'm sorry.
Okay. Yep. Oh, Empire Strikes Back. Great.
Empire Strikes Back. Uh-huh.
That was good.
Whatever. No, I'm kidding. Sorry. I'm sorry.
Greg, do you know the movie that's number one in the box office right now?
I mean, I do, but I could pretend I don't.
Jaws.
No, I just said it's The Empire Strikes Back.
The Empire Strikes Back is the answer. The answer is The Empire Strikes Back. Good God.
Wow, I'll tell you what. See, the thing is, all these old movies are new again because they're re-releasing them in the theaters because there's no movies being made. And right now, the number one movie in America is The Empire Strikes Back, which was released, how many years ago was that? In the, I guess,
1980.
1980 was the first year it was released, but then it was re-released in 1997, you know, when they re-released all those movies, and then they started those awful prequels. So it's the first time it's been number one at the box office since 1997.
Wow. How about that, huh? Number one at the box office. I love that all these old movies are coming back. I just wish that the movie theaters were coming back so I could actually see them. But they're still closed in Jersey, and they're still closed in Pennsylvania, right, Dawn?
Yep.
Okay.
Wow. This is not even she's not even pretending anymore, Rich.
She's like, I'm giving you one-word answers for the rest of the show. You're getting one word out of me, guy. That's it. Yup. All right. Well, this is a perfect time for me to say good morning to a great friend of the show man who is behind the one of the greatest tasting foods in the history of food, the crab fry. Ladies and gentlemen, let's say good morning to our friend Pete Scirocchi, Chickies and Pete's. Hey, Pete, good morning, my man. How you doing?
Good morning, Rich. How are you?
I'm great. And it's National French Fry Day. So happy French Fry Day.
Well, you know, we call it National Crab Fry Day, but thank you very much. It's one of the happiest days of the year for everyone, especially people at Chickie and Pete's.
Now, I want to make this point very clear. These fries that you invented, that you came up with, that people try and duplicate all the time, this isn't you just throwing some Old Bay on fries and calling it a day.
No. Listen, if that was that easy, everybody would have done it, and then they would all have had a Crab Fry Day. But no, it's not. It's something it took me some time to develop years ago when I was young and I had a small corner bar and there was really nothing else to do but try to play with seasoning and play with different kind of recipes. There was no business, so there was nothing to keep me busy. So I just made food and let guys try it for free until we came up with the recipe that became the famous one that you talk about now, the crab fry, which is sold in so many places around the country.
And what's really good is that you're doing something very special today to salute all the amazing efforts of healthcare workers. And I'm so happy you're doing this because they've been on the front lines during this entire pandemic. And so for you to do this, Pete, means a lot. So what are you doing today for them?
Well, on National Crab Fry Day, we'd like to take care of this year the healthcare workers, the frontline healthcare workers, the hospital heroes, you might say. People who put their life on the line dealing with this COVID, which has been a thorn in our sides and a very difficult thing to deal with. So for every fry that's sold today, crab fries, we will give a voucher to the local hospital, the closest one to that particular Chickie and Pete's, for a free order of crab fries to a healthcare worker, a healthcare hero, and they can come in and use that crab fry voucher whenever they would like.
Very nice. Chickies and Pete's will donate the same amount of free crab fries coupons to select local hospital workers. You're going to keep it local, which I love too. All crab fries sold from all of your Pennsylvania and New Jersey locations today on National Crab Fry Day. And you're up to 12 full service locations participating, as well as the Wildwood and Ocean City Boardwalk locations.
That's correct. Wildwood, Ocean City, and Atlantic City Boardwalk locations. So there should be a substantial amount of crab fries that go out today and a substantial amount of vouchers to go to our healthcare heroes. And we're really excited about this. This has been a disease that's touched everyone, and it's unfortunate that it's actually spiking again. But hopefully the crab fries, I don't think it's a carrier. I think it's a good idea to eat a crab fry today.
I think it boosts your immune system.
Everything else and enjoy yourself.
I think, Pete, it's true that the crab fries boost your immune system. I've read that.
It is absolutely true. A crab fry day keeps the doctor away.
I agree, 100%. Now, how hard has this shutdown been on Chickies and Pete's and the staff? And how have you been able to, as things reopen, to reallocate resources for more things like outdoor dining and delivery and that sort of thing?
Well, it's been, you know, instead of moving forward through your business, you're just trying to stay afloat and trying to keep your staff and your team working. You know, it's the teams and their families that you mostly care about. And we've done a lot of things. We have tents in places. So Chickie and Pete's have open. we're open and people are coming in. There's a lot of takeout, which is.
Pete, you're breaking up a little bit.
Like you do now.
A lot of takeout, right? Like Uber Eats and DoorDash and that sort of thing. People are doing that too. I saw the location in South Jersey, the big one in Marlton, which where you guys have outdoor seating. That's packed. I mean, packed to the brim, but also safely. Obviously, I know you're doing everything to keep people safe too, right?
It is important to keep people safe and for all restaurateurs to keep that social distancing so we don't lose what we have. You know, we've made it so far so good, and let's try to, you know, it's not something you can contract on food, but people can, if they're too close together, that's not good, as you know. Social distance is important, and wearing a mask. So everyone, please do that so we can keep our restaurants open and keep everyone working.
All right, so today, do something nice to help out a healthcare worker and get a big bucket of crab fries and make yourself healthy and boost your own immune system. I don't know if it's actually scientifically based, but I'm going to say it anyway. So Chickies and Pete's today. We'll do this on National Crab Fry Day. You'll help out our healthcare workers. They'll get free crab fries as well. Donate the same amount of free crab fries coupons to select local hospital workers. Pete, it's great. I look forward to the time we can get together in public, in person again. Last time I saw you, right before this whole thing started, and seemed like a million years ago when we were actually, you know, we were at Chickies and Pete's doing our USO Radiothon, which is where we were in South Philly. It was a great day, one of the absolute best days, and it was like 2 days after that, the whole world changed.
Yeah, that was, you know, you don't know how good you have it sometimes, but we'll get through this. But please come out and support the healthcare workers today. Come get a crab fry, and we'll take care of them.
All right, Pete Cherokee. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it. Chickies and Pete's. Thank you, Pete.
Nice. Thanks.
All right, you got it. Absolutely.
Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPH.
All right, now, Dawn, yes or no, do you want to do your news now or you want to wait till we come back from break?
It's up to you.
No, you're that's three man. Words. I need it's up to, actually, it's four words. you want to do your news now?
Sure. Yes.
Okay. All right. Let's do it.
Yes. Okay. Good morning. I'll never live this down. My kids are like texting me, bring crab fries home, and you should have known Empire Strikes Back. So now,
by the way,
I'm gonna hear about this all day.
The worst thing about COVID-19, the worst thing, has been the fact that we can't get crab fries delivered to the studio anymore like we used to every year on Crab Fry Day.
Yeah, thank you for saying that, because they assume that, you know, that's what's happened. That we're
no, I mean, Pete used to come in studio, give us a big bucket of hot, steaming, delicious crab fries, and I would shove them in my face. I would be eating while you were doing your newscast. This is the worst part about COVID-19.
The worst. So get crab fries. All right. I won't be bringing them home, kids. 74 degrees today, Monday, July 13th. I'm Dawn, Zioli Show News Live, sponsored by Mercedes-Benz. So, you know, Zioli's talking about the big story with education, back to school. School District of Philadelphia plans to release its back to school plan this week. We're watching for this. So we're expecting a hybrid of online and in-person learning. So this is Superintendent William Height. Says everybody returning to, he says we're going to return in some fashion. But everybody returning to school buildings, everybody wears a mask. And to establish social distancing in normally overcrowded classrooms, Height telling everybody that not all students will be allowed in at once. So this might be in phases, in other words. John Travolta making a sad announcement saying, quote, my beautiful wife Kelly Preston has lost her 2-year battle with breast cancer. So she was in her mid-50s. She fought a courageous fight with the love and support of so many. They were married 29 years, 3 kids, and you know Kelly Preston, of course, from roles in Jerry Maguire. I think that's her probably my favorite, Jerry Maguire with Tom Cruise. But Twins, Dusk Till Dawn, The Cat in the Hat, to name a few. So she's lost her battle with breast cancer. Washington Redskins, people are taking odds on what their new name will be. So they are expected this morning to announce what their new name will be. So Red Tails are a 3-1 favorite. And that's followed by Generals and the Presidents. So those are the three top new names expected.
Oh, wait. All right, let's dig into this a little bit more at 8:30, okay? I want to dig in on this.
Disney World, everybody's talking about it, reopened after being closed for nearly 4 months due to the pandemic. So over the weekend, yes, the Magic Kingdom is back and the Animal Kingdom. So they opened their gates.
Is Mickey Mouse wearing a mask?
Oh, I don't know. know, folks. No, I don't know if he is or not. Sorry, that was my Mickey Mouse sounds surprisingly like my dog Buddy. So I don't know.
Well, your range is it's incredible, Dawn. I like absolutely.
I am just embarrassed.
Is your dog Buddy Mickey Mouse? Is that what's going on here?
That's what it is. I have totally embarrassed myself this morning.
Okay. By the way, Chris on Twitter said, I can't wait for Dawn's newscast. Going to sound like, I'm Dawn, murders, bad, Trump, virus, hot, yes. Out, advertisers, I'm Dawn. It's going to sound like their newscast. I love it. So Buddy's Mickey Mouse. This is a very revealing newscast.
Yes. See?
Wow.
That's the truth. So, and there's a gorilla, speaking of animals in Florida, a gorilla in Miami had to be tested for the coronavirus after he developed a low-grade fever. So his name is Shango. He's 31, but his tests came back negative.
He's negative for the coronavirus.
He's negative. So thank goodness he got a test.
Thank God.
We don't know what he has a fever with, but it's not COVID.
Good.
Okay, the summer event is here.
And he's in Florida, so that's one less case in Florida, right?
As yeah, you said, mentioned one Florida. Less, okay, yeah, because the national headlines, if you're watching, they're all focused. I don't, for some bizarre reason, everybody's focused on what's happening in Florida.
Gee, I wonder what that bizarre reason is.
Yeah, I don't know what could be happening there next month, but.
Oh, my God.
I know where Dawn's not going next month. I know. The convention.
I wish I were going. I would go.
In the hazmat suit with the ultraviolet light wand in one hand and the Lysol spray in the other?
I think you got to be prepared, but that's
I agree
that you shouldn't go.
Well, they haven't ruled it out yet. They still may do it.
Really?
But. No, I mean, we're not, they're not sending us. I mean, we can maybe, we could talk off air about that, but I think they still may have the convention, but I don't know. They may not. I don't know.
No, they're going to have it.
Yeah.
They're going to have it. Totally. All right.
All right.
I got to move on. The news is sponsored by Mercedes. Please. The summer event is here. In dealerships, on your phone, online, not for long. Go to mbusa.com/summer event to learn more about limited time offers, to simply contact your local authorized dealership to schedule a private showroom appointment. Don't wait long. These offers won't wait. So the forecast, it's going to be a beautiful week, okay? Mostly sunny week, lower humidity, highs in the high 80s. So 89 today, 87 tomorrow, but it's nice this week. The tropical storms have gone. So I'm Dawn. This is the Yoli Show News, and you can always find us on the radio.com app. I'm way over.
Thank you, Dawn. Appreciate it. That's my fault, though. Sorry. Not your fault that you're way over. It's my fault.
Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.